Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler.
And I'm Mark Martin. We're glad you're with us this evening, and you can find us here on New Visions Radio every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific.
How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing well. I'm fighting allergies just a little bit. It's here in Virginia, it's not spring yet, but we've had some unseasonably warm weather.
It has been a crazy winter. There has been very little snow here in Virginia, and it seems like all the trees are coming out a month and a half early,
yeah.
It seems like.
Yeah, I tell you, the other thing is, you know, whenever we have warm weather like this, it seems like before the spring comes, we'll get slammed with maybe a foot of snow.
I hope not. I don't feel like shoveling snow. No, I really don't.
Neither do I. But friends, we want to welcome you. We're glad you're with us here this evening. And just a couple of announcements before we get started. We want to welcome you to go to the prophecyhope.com website. That's www.prophecyhope.com. And you'll find a number of sermons. You'll find archived radio programs from right here.
Mm-hmm.
You will also find our newsletters that we put out. We haven't been doing that as often as we were at one time because we're so busy in ministry. And we've been really busy at the Prophecies of Hope Church, haven't we, Rick?
Yes, we have.
If you want to get in touch with me, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
Or you can reach me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
Also, we have a general email, office@prophecyhope.com. And two, if you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area, how do they find us?
Well, you know, actually, they can look us up on Google.
That's true.
And you can look for Prophecies of Hope on Google, and it will show you where our church in Virginia.
Right.
Yes. Make sure that you put that in there, and it'll show you that we are at 1743 West Beverly Street in Stanton, Virginia.
Yes. And Stanton is spelled S-T-A-U-N. It's properly pronounced Staunton, but all these country folk around here call it Stanton. So I guess if we said Staunton, they'd say, you ain't from around here, are you?
That's true.
That true?
They would. You know, every weekend on Saturday, we have a Bible study time on Saturday morning at 9:30, and we have a worship service at 11 o'clock. And that's because we adhere to the biblical understanding of the Sabbath day, the seventh day Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And all are welcome to attend. The Bible discussion is lively most of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get off of the subject, but we try to bring it back to the subject on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time at the Prophecies of Hope Church. We have an open Bible study, and really anyone who walks through the door that has a Bible question or would like to say, look, I don't agree with you folks on this particular subject, let's read it right from the Bible. You know, we'd be happy to entertain all those thoughts and understandings.
Sure.
Let's read and understand what the Bible truly teaches.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, the one that we have on Sabbath morning, you're welcome to do that also, but that's a little more structured. Usually there's a topic involved, and we're studying a particular topic.
And wherever you live, you can tune in to those on Saturday morning,
yes,
at 9:30. Just go to our website, and you'll be directed to the live feed.
Yeah, if you just go look at the left side of the webpage, you'll notice there's a link that will set you up with the live feed. And we start at 9:30 promptly, and sometimes right before that, we'll have a little music playing so that you'll know we're streaming.
You know, it'd be great to thank Ray Powers and New Visions,
yes,
Radio at this point.
Yes, we're very grateful to Ray. He's the reason that we're able to broadcast here on this network every week, and we're very thankful for that. And is there anything else, Rick, before we get started?
No, I don't think so.
So you want to open with a word of prayer?
I surely do. Father in heaven, we are so grateful that you have given us another opportunity to open your holy word. And we ask a blessing on us here in the studio and our listeners as they listen. Father, may we have understanding to know what you want to teach us today straight from your word. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. You know, Rick, I find it hard to believe that we did our first program, I believe it was in September of 2013, our first radio program.
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
It has. It's hard to believe. And because of some things that have happened in your life lately, the first program that we did was very much like the topic that we're going to discuss this evening, because it's been a long time.
Yeah, that's right. This past a week ago, let's see, it's been 8 days ago that I learned that my stepfather, who's 91 years old and a tremendously strong Christian man, had a massive stroke. And my mother found him in their living room laying on the floor, and he was unresponsive. She called 911, and the paramedics came and got him, and she followed them to the hospital. And he was a little responsive to them and to her as they got him to the hospital and into the emergency room. The next day, they had told my mother he had had a massive stroke, but sometimes you don't know the extent of that for several days. The next day, physical therapy came in and were working with him. He would smile and nod and try to communicate. And my mother thought there was good hope for him to maybe get some of the movement back on his right side. She fed him some Jell-O, I think some pudding that next day. But you never know. I spoke to the neurologist myself, and he said you never know the damage that a stroke can cause over time. By the end of the next day, he was unresponsive, and the doctors told us that they could do nothing for him because of the extent of the stroke. And he passed away 2 days later, comfortably, in a hospice facility. And it was a sad day for all of us. But I think that's what I want to talk about today. I want to explore with you what the Bible teaches about what my stepfather knows or what he doesn't know, where he is, you know, what happens with his body, what happens with his mind, what happens with his spirit. I think we need to go through those things again, because I think it's very important with the way the world is today that we have the truth straight from God's word about what happens when someone we love passes away. I'm thankful, Mark, that I don't believe that he suffered at all. I think he was unconscious for a while and recognized that there was something wrong when he got to the hospital, but he tried to smile and have a good smile on his face. But I believe that the damage that was being done in his brain allowed him not to have any pain or suffering. And you know, those people at hospice care, they are mostly wonderful people. I've had some interactions with people that work at a hospice in the past, and they are wonderful people, caring people. They have a love in their heart for people that are in their last few days of life. And that's what we found at this place. This was in a small town in Florida. So I got to say goodbye to him before he passed away, and my mother was very tender with him as he laid in his bed. And I think it's just it's a good time for me to express my thoughts and feelings about what happens when a loved one dies.
Yeah, I think that's very important. He came and he spoke at the Prophecies of Hope Church on Sabbath.
He did. He gave a sermon back in October of 2016.
Yeah. How old was Maurice?
He was 91. 91. Okay. He would have been 92 March 15th of this year.
Okay. So, you know, he gave a very good sermon. I really appreciate his depth of understanding and how you could tell that everything that came out of his mouth was very heartfelt, and he gave a biblical message.
He did give a biblical message. You know, he was my stepfather for 30 years.
Wow.
30 years. And he and I had had the chance over the years to talk about many, many things.
Yeah.
Biblical things, doctrine, There were some things that we disagreed upon.
Sure.
And he would tell me often when maybe we disagreed on a particular biblical subject, he would say, well, let me tell you, I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. That I know for certain. That's what the Bible teaches me, that if I cling to Jesus, I do not have a care in the universe. That's what he would say. Do not have a care in the world, do not have a care in the universe, and I know that my soul is safe with Jesus.
You know, it's a comforting feeling to know that, I've done the best I could with the information I've had. And I just want to say at the outset, before we begin here, is that your stepdad had the same understanding of what happens as we have.
Yes, right? That's absolutely sure. He understood from the Bible what we're going to present today, what we're going to take from the Bible and just give it to you listeners out there. My stepfather knew and understood these things and believed these things.
Yeah.
So one scripture I want to share right in the beginning is an Old Testament text that maybe not a lot of us are familiar with. It comes from the book of Isaiah, and it's in chapter 57.
Okay.
And Mark, I don't know, I see you furiously flipping the pages on your Bible.
I'm there.
If you could read verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 57. This has been very comforting to me when I've had other family members who have passed away.
Okay, and I'm reading this from the New King James Bible. Isaiah 57, verse 1 says, "The righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness."
So, what does that mean to you, Mark?
Well, when it says the righteous perishes, when I think of the word perish, you know, if I have perishables in my car and I want to get home, if they perish, they actually go bad. If I leave them outside long enough, they go back to the ground.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I can see that.
If something perishes, it's pretty much no more. It's gone bad. It's soured. And it's going to decay.
It's going to decay and go back to the soil. Right?
Sure.
It says that no one considers that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. You know, that I've often heard that, and I think it's a biblical principle, that God will not allow something to happen in each one of our lives, that we can't, through his power, overcome those things, correct?
Right, yes.
So I think, you know, my stepfather lived a tremendously long life by today's standards, 91, almost 92. He had a tremendous witness. He owned his own business for the last 15 years of his life. And in that business, he would hand out literature to people. He would encourage people. He would even pray from time to time with people that would tell him about their needs or their situation. And he often said to me, you know I'm getting older. When God has no more use for my witness, I know that God will lay me down and have me go to sleep. And so I think his time on this earth was done, and
I'm sure he touched a lot of lives.
He did.
It's interesting. Just a little side point here. So you said for the last 15 years. So he actually did this up until until he died.
Yes, that's true.
And so he had a blueberry farm, right?
Yeah, he had a U-Pick blueberry farm in Pennsylvania.
And so the thing that got me was, even though he was so old, that you said he would mow that area himself.
Yes. We're talking between 3 and 4 acres of blueberries. Not a big field, but...
That's pretty good size.
Pretty good size. Yeah. He would mow in between all of these high bush blueberry bushes, you know, some of them 6, 7, 8 foot tall, with a hand mower. It was self-propelled, but it was still a push.
So it wasn't a rider. He'd have to walk with this.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's pretty amazing to me.
Not at almost 92 years old.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, you know, he truly had been blessed by God. There's no doubt about it.
Exceptionally.
Yeah. So you shared this here in Isaiah 57, 1 and 2. Did you have another thought on this particular passage?
You know, it says, "He shall enter into peace, and they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness." It speaks specifically of how difficult this life is in a sinful world.
Sure.
And how, when it comes time for us to die, we don't have to worry about anything that has happened in this life. We're going to be resting and sleeping, is basically what it says. And walking in their upright, in his uprightness. In other words, if these people are faithful right up until the moment that they die, that is their character, mm-hmm. that they have worked on and asked God to work on for them throughout their entire life. I mean, that's what I see it to mean.
Well, I think some people might get confused when they look at this text, because I think the majority of Christian people, and even those who are not Christian, the majority of people believe in some sort of afterlife immediately when we die. The vast majority of religions, not just Christianity, but Islam, Buddhism, many of these religions teach that you go on. So when I read, "He shall enter into peace," the average Christian would say, well, of course, if he was the kind of man you're saying he is, he's in heaven with our Heavenly Father right now.
Ah.
But what does the Bible say about those things? I think that's where we need to go next. Do you have a thought on that, Rick?
Well, I do. Many times on this program, we go right back to the book of Genesis.
That's a great place to start.
It is, because it talks about the beginning of this earth, doesn't it?
It does.
And, you know, when God created the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, to live in this beautiful garden, he tested them by putting the tree of knowledge of good and evil,
sure.
in the middle of the garden.
In other words, it may not have been as much a test as it was a choice, right?
Yes.
In other words, God doesn't tempt us with
No,
with
he
bad
doesn't
things.
Tempt us, but he does. You're right. It's a choice for us whether
right.
we're going to follow him or not.
Sure.
Right? And you and I believe that for eternity we'll still have that choice of whether we're going to follow God or not.
Amen.
We believe that everyone in the whole universe is going to want to follow God, because by then we'll understand that sin is a horrible, horrible thing. Why would we want to turn away
right.
from God, who's so wonderful, when we have that much knowledge and understanding?
Sure.
But, you know, God tells them back here in Genesis that if they eat of this tree that he tells them not to, that they will die. And he tells them that from the dust that is where he formed them, they're going to return to that same dust.
Okay, where do we find that? In Genesis chapter 2, is it? Or is it 3? I guess we could start off with Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
Okay.
I like the way your Bible reads there.
It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul."
Okay, so what does that mean to you when you look at that text?
Well, it's interesting that it takes two things for there to be a soul.
Okay.
It takes the physical body that God formed.
Right.
And it takes
from the dust.
Yeah. The spark of life that God breathed into, or this breath of life that God breathed into Adam's nostrils.
Right.
So those things, it says man became a living soul with those two elements.
Yeah. It doesn't say that he was given a soul. It didn't say that he had a soul. But the body and the breath, you're saying, are what make the soul.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense to
So
me.
You are a soul, and I am a soul.
That's
Every
right.
one of our listeners, we are a soul. It's not like we have a soul that we can take apart from ourselves and do something with it.
Right.
So if we turn over to Genesis chapter 3, the next chapter, and we read verse 19.
So this is right after they had sinned.
Right after they had sinned. It's he's telling them how difficult it's going to be because of that sin. It says, "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and unto dust you shall return."
You know, that's pretty clear. Because he didn't say anything to them about, okay, because you've done this horrible thing and caused sin to come into the human race, you're going to burn for eternity.
And I didn't say that at all.
And he didn't say, well, if you hadn't have done this, you were going to come up to heaven.
He didn't say that either.
No. His plan was he created this earth for humanity.
What I get from this text is, because you're going to die, because you've sinned, you're going to die, you're going to return to the same place that you were before, which means you're going to go back to being dust. Remember the perishables that you brought up before?
Right.
You're going to go back to being dust, and this spirit, this spark of life that God has breathed into you, that's just going to return to God. He's the life giver. That spark of life just returns to him.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
But if that's the case, doesn't the Bible teach us, though, that there is some afterlife that we can hope in?
Sure, I do believe that. I think we need to get there before we quit, but I want to drive this home a little further.
Okay. So,
we're,
but
we're
I
not
just,
saying
the,
that there's not
I,
an afterlife.
You know,
afterlife.
The listener might be saying, hey, wait a minute. You mean this life is all there is?
No, it's not.
No, we don't believe that. But we have to prove everything by Scripture. So we're going to take a little time to go through these things.
Sure. I think, why don't we look at a text here? This is going to might sound kind of strange. Job chapter 27.
Okay.
I think because we were talking about God breathed this breath into Adam, right?
Right.
He said he gave him the spark of life.
Yes.
Is what you called it. Mm-hmm. There's another word that is used for that.
Okay.
And if we look at Job chapter 27 and verse 3, it says here in the New King James, it says, "As long as my breath is in me, and the breath of my God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness." So it's talking about the breath being in his nostrils. Is that what yours says?
Actually, mine says, "While my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils."
Okay, so I wanted to make that point. Mine says breath, yours says spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same word when we're talking about the breath of God being put into the man when he breathed into his nostrils, the breath of life. We could say it's the spirit of life, couldn't we?
The spirit of life, yes. In other words, it's that thing, it's that element in life that actually comes from God that we can't create that in some laboratory.
That's right.
I mean, we could make stuff in the laboratory, but how could we possibly bring it to life?
That's right.
And I think that's a prerogative of God, right?
Sure, absolutely. That's not, I mean, we can, humans, they say, can clone an animal, but they're taking something that's already living DNA, living cells.
Oh, yeah, that's just like procreation, where a man and a woman will have sexual relations and they will procreate another human being.
But they're not creating life.
No, they're not.
The life or that spirit comes from God.
Comes from God.
Okay.
So when we say someone dies, it's pretty clear from Scripture, like we've demonstrated, that the body goes back to dust.
Right.
And this spark of life, this spirit, is basically the what makes life goes back to God who gave it.
Sure. Now, I've got another text, and I don't want to jump around too much on you. You might have something in mind here, Rick.
No, I really don't. I'm ready to listen. If you've got another text, that means we'll hear it straight from Scripture.
Now, we're going to come back to this idea of the spirit and the breath again.
Okay.
But for now, let's take a look, since we're already there in the Old Testament. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I know you're familiar with these texts.
Okay, so that's right after Psalms and Proverbs, then comes Ecclesiastes.
Yes.
Pretty much in the middle of the whole Bible,
right?
That's right.
So here's what mine says, and this will be new to a lot of people that maybe you've never listened to this program, maybe you've never heard us speak about this topic. It says in the New King James, Ecclesiastes 9, verses 5 and 6, "For the living know that they will die. we are aware, right?
Yeah, that's true.
We know that that's inevitable. But the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. In other words, there's no memory recall. It's not there. And in verse 6, it says, also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. There's that word again. So it goes on. It says, nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. That's talking about in this world.
Yeah, okay? I agree.
So when I look at this and I see that the dead know nothing, their love, their hatred, and their envy have perished, how could I have any kind of awareness at the point of death?
Yeah, I see that. You know, you mentioned at the outset of the program that a lot of Christians believe that at the moment of death, somehow someone's soul goes to heaven, right, or hell, or maybe even somewhere in between.
Right. And so we've established that the soul is the body and the breath together.
That's right.
Now, some people will say that the soul goes to heaven, but there's nowhere in the Bible that says that. However, people will say, well, the spirit goes to heaven. The Bible does speak of the spirit that returns to God. We'll look at that in just a moment.
But isn't that just the breath or the life of someone?
That's my understanding.
That's that spark of life that only God can give to create life?
When it says the spirit is in your nostrils, right? Or the breath is in your nostrils. If I die today, my last breath is an exhale.
That's true.
It's never an inhale. It's always an exhale.
That's true. I know that sounds funny. But, you know, after my stepfather had died, we were not there when he passed away. We came back to the hospice, and we wanted to see him. My mother wanted to go in and spend a few minutes with his body there. And we knew that he wasn't alive. We knew that he couldn't hear us, that there was no awareness there. But my mother and I and my sister and my wife, we went in and just spent a few minutes. My mother held his hand and rubbed his forehead a little bit. And I guess she was just saying goodbye to him, even though she understood that his life was already over. You know, yeah. What's interesting to me about that is every time in the Bible that the Bible records some miraculous thing where someone was raised from the dead,
right,
that it was their body that they had died. Their body was a physical thing. God somehow put the life back in that body, and they were raised with the same body.
That's true.
Like when we look all through Scripture, you know, there was a widow's child in the Old Testament that was raised.
Right.
It wasn't like they were raised without their body. I mean,
that's true.
And Jesus himself, when he came forth from the tomb, right, evidently he was changed enough that Mary Magdalene, Mary didn't recognize him there.
Sure. But it was still a bodily resurrection.
Yeah, it was still his body. Right. When she went into the tomb, she recognized that his body was gone. She said, "Where have you laid him?"
Right.
So,
Lazarus.
In every instance, yeah.
Lazarus,
God,
when he came out of the tomb, he was
God
bodily.
Put that spark of life back into the body.
Sure.
And we can go to Scripture right now, and that tells us that someday there's going to be a resurrection of all these, quote, bodies that have lain in the tombs.
Yes,
we will. And I know some of you out there might be thinking, well, how is God going to put that all back together again when it's been laying in the tomb and gone back to dust for maybe thousands of years, right? Well, let me assure you, the God who made the sun, moon, and stars and the earth that we walk on.
And Adam.
That's right. Can put us all back together.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, look, a couple of more texts just to kind of drive this home, because this is a new idea to people, I'm sure, that, well, wait a minute, the dead don't know anything. Well, don't we go to heaven when we die? What does your Bible say in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, Rick?
Verse 10, it says, "Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go."
Wow. So there's no knowledge or wisdom. In fact, Ecclesiastes 3:20 says, "All go to one place, all are from the dust, and all return to dust."
Wow.
And I'm sure a lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute, these are all Old Testament texts that you're looking at here.
yeah, we get that from time to
these
time.
These are Old
we?
Testament texts. Something else I'd like to share with you is James chapter 2, verse 26.
Oh, that's in the New Testament.
Yes.
Right after the book of Hebrews.
I'd like you to read James 2, verse 26, if you would, Rick.
Okay. The very last text in this chapter says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also."
Okay. So it speaks about the spirit that God put in Adam, this breath of life. The body without the breath is dead.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's very clear. Now, the other thing is, we've talked about souls. Adam became a living soul.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's take a look and see if souls die in Ezekiel chapter 18.
Okay.
I'd like you to read that. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4.
Ezekiel 18:4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die."
Okay, so souls do die, according to this text.
Wow, okay.
Okay, so we've already established that the body and the breath make the soul.
That's right.
So when the breath leaves the body, the soul is gone. Mm. It ceases to exist.
It ceases to exist, yeah.
Right. So I guess that brings us to, you were talking about this afterlife, dude. What happens? Do people go to heaven, or where do they go?
Well, you and I do believe in an afterlife, don't we?
Yes, we do.
It's kind of a misnomer because you're actually living, but so it's not afterlife. I don't know. We can get confused by that. But let me just say, you and I believe that the Bible teaches unequivocally that there's a resurrection.
Absolutely.
So even though I know that my stepfather he does not exist right now.
Right.
The Bible calls that a sleep.
Yes, that's what Jesus called it. In fact, when Lazarus had died, he said, "Lazarus sleeps," and his disciples were confused. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And there's a reason, though, that Jesus calls it a sleep at that point.
It's because we have the potential of resurrection to eternal life.
Yes.
But we also believe there's a resurrection so that we can face judgment if it's not to eternal life, right?
Let's turn to John chapter 5. That's where I think we can find this.
Okay.
John chapter 5, verse 28 is where it starts. This is just such a wonderful chapter, I think. There's a lot of information here that we have talked about in the past. But basically, verses 28 and 29, Rick, do you have that?
Yes, I do, right here in front of me. Jesus is talking to all of them, including the Pharisees, when he says, "Marvel not at all of this." That means the things he's already told them.
Right.
"For the hour is coming," he says, "in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." He's talking about himself, the Son of Man.
Right.
Okay? And verse 29, "and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation."
Okay. So this is speaking of two resurrections.
It looks like everybody in the whole world is going to be resurrected at some point.
At some point in time, it seems. So I guess the resurrection of life comes first, comes before the resurrection of damnation.
That's what it seems like.
And I guess we need to decipher, when does this resurrection occur? Does it occur at the point of death? If I die today, do I receive that resurrection at that point in time? Or is it at a future time?
Yeah, that's a little confusing to me because I know what the Bible teaches. And we talked about every resurrection happens with a body. In other words,
right.
There is no point in time ever where we're just going to be some spirit creature. God created you and I to be human beings, along with the other 7 billion people that are walking around on this planet, right?
Yeah, almost 8 billion.
So we were created to be human beings. In other words, if we obtain eternal life, we're going to have hands and feet and a head and hopefully you'll have more hair on your head.
No, all perfect heads are going to be bald.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm quickly getting there. Anyway,
remember who was it? Was it Elijah or was it Elisha that he had a bald head and the kids were picking on him? Remember?
I think it was Elisha.
Elisha. Yeah. And they said, "Go up, you bald head." And he called out the bears to eat them alive. See, so he was a man of God. He was bald, Rick.
Yeah, they shouldn't have done that. That's for sure. Just a word to our listeners. If you want a picture of Mark and you want to see his bald head, just go to our website, www.prophecyhope.com. There's a nice picture of Mark there. You can see his smiling face.
I have a face for radio, they tell me. That's fun. Anyway, so let's take a look and see when and how this resurrection occurs.
Okay.
The first resurrection we're talking about.
The Bible's pretty clear on this point.
And I think we can find that in a couple of places, but 1 Thessalonians is the one that comes to mind for me right off the bat.
Okay.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we look at verse 15. I think that's where we should start.
Okay.
And I'll read that from the New King James, if you don't mind. Or would you rather read it from there?
Actually, if you could back up to verse 13.
Sure. Sure.
Because my Bible has a paragraph mark.
Mine does too.
So, Paul is writing to these people so that they wouldn't be sorrowful when one of their members dies or, friends, family, loved ones.
Right.
So you want me to read?
Sure, go ahead. Just when you get to that word in where it says, I think yours says prevent, and I'll tell you when you get there.
Okay.
Keep going.
Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, to me, that's talking about when Christ returns here to this earth,
right,
and resurrects all the righteous, God's going to bring all of them and Jesus back to a heavenly home, which Jesus promised he was preparing for us, right?
Okay. I think it tells us that pretty much if we keep reading.
Okay. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Mine says precede them. In other words, what it's saying is those who are living now, if all of us who are listening to this program right now, we're alive.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jesus comes back in the next couple of minutes while we're still listening to this program, then we don't go up before those. We don't precede the ones who are in the tomb.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Okay.
Because it says the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep.
Okay.
See, because those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those in the grave, in other words.
I see. Okay. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, verse 17, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
So there's a reason Paul was saying to comfort one another with these words. I don't think he wanted us to be mistaken about what happens at death, when that resurrection comes.
It's interesting that he says he's comparing those believers in Christ Jesus with those who have no hope.
Right. He is.
And you know, there were people that just scoffed at the idea of a resurrection someday.
Sure.
Those people had no hope in a resurrection. So Paul is saying, look, we've got a tremendous hope. If we believe Christ Jesus rose from the dead, we can have the same hope on resurrection morning. And that's obviously when Christ Jesus promised to return to this earth.
Sure. Yeah, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I believe that's coming very soon.
I do too.
You know, and so that's the thing. In other words, so what we've read, this is actually the what we would call, according to John 5:28-29, the first resurrection.
The first resurrection.
Or the resurrection of the righteous.
Yes.
Okay. Also, Paul sounds this down even more when he wrote a letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now, I think we need to make clear that this is not talking about that we can't go to heaven in our bodies. That's not what it's saying.
Oh, yeah. But, Paul is very clear. If you read Romans chapter 8, he's comparing flesh with the sinful nature that we have and the spirit with the spiritual understanding and the spiritual life that God gives us today.
Amen.
So flesh and spirit, they are contrasted in most all of Paul's writings in that way.
Yeah, so once we read it in the context of understanding what he's saying, it makes it very, very clear.
Yes, and this flesh and blood that we have now is that's the sinful nature that we have now.
Right.
That's really what he's saying.
Sure. And that's why he gives us the contrast. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption, flesh, inherit incorruption, which is the kingdom of God.
Right. I agree.
It's very clear to me, too. At one time, I believed something different until I studied God's word and saw that my church had taught me wrong.
Yeah.
So I look at verse 51. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. That word was used in 1 Thessalonians.
Oh, that's
it?
Right.
For the dead will be raised, I'm sorry, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In other words, the living. Now, this is obviously talking about the dead in Christ shall be raised up.
Yes, I agree.
And it says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?
Hmm.
So this is when death for the righteous is swallowed up forever, we could say. Death for the righteous. Not yet for the unrighteous.
Hmm.
So I believe, in my understanding of who Morris was as a man, the man that I knew, is that he's going to be in this first resurrection. And we'll be caught up to meet him in the air if we're still alive at that time.
That's right. And, you know, he will be, when he is raised up, he's going to be raised up with this beautiful, youthful body that he had probably in his 20s.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not some mortal body that is going to, it's like a body that Adam was created with in the beginning, right? A sinless character, a sinless body that has no effects of sin on it whatsoever.
Right.
And it's going to be like that for eternity. And that's the hope each one of us have.
Amen. That's a wonderful hope.
You know, my stepfather had real difficulty toward the end of his life. He was such a tall man. Once he got on his feet, he was pretty spry.
Yeah.
But for him to get out of an easy chair or something like that was pretty difficult.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And just to see him again and for him to have that spring in his step like I can imagine he had when he was a young man, that's really thrilling to me.
Sure, it is. It's an exciting thing to think about. This is the hope that we have, friends. You know, I want to just run this past you as well. I think you know, all of us have lives that we have lived, and we have things that we have kept secret from others that we know.
Oh,
isn't that true?
That's true.
Whether it's our parents or our friends or a family member or something. And mm-hmm. the point is, if I have a relative that has been transferred to heaven upon their death and they're watching me now, like a lot of people say, well, I know he's up in heaven listening to me speak right now. I'm sure I've said some horrible things that have really upset that person or done some horrible things that have made them say, how in the world could he do those horrible, terrible things? And if there are only tears of joy in heaven at this time, if they were there, then how could that be if they were watching me do these terrible things?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I know, Mark, also, there's some churches that condone praying to these saints, which they believe in are in heaven.
Wow.
And really, what the Bible teaches, these people are praying to someone who really doesn't even exist anymore.
Isn't that something?
How can someone like that do anything for our characters or the things that we need? You know, our only hope about changing the sinful nature and the sinful character that we have is in the divine Son of God. That's Jesus Christ.
You know,
he's been given that power by our Heavenly Father.
Absolutely. You know, I can't help but to think another New Testament text is Acts chapter 2.
Okay.
And, you know, all of us are, if we've read the Bible at all, we're familiar with David, King David.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was a man that he had made many mistakes in his life. But, boy, I tell you what, he had a tremendous experience of conversion and just pouring his heart out.
Oh, that's true. And, you know, if you read Psalm chapter 51, he's asking God for forgiveness for the things that he had done with Bathsheba and right. all that thing, having a man killed to get Bathsheba as his wife and just the horrible things that he did. But it's beautiful when he comes back and he recognizes that God is the only one that can give him forgiveness.
Right.
And he's asking God with all of his heart to put that spirit of the living God back inside him.
Yeah.
And so it's tremendous. Read Psalm chapter 51. It's beautiful. Oh,
it is beautiful. The point is, friends, is that this David, he was repentant. He completely asked God for a new heart.
Yeah, and God actually says that David is a man after his own heart.
Isn't that wonderful?
And this was after his conversion and repentance.
So if any man were going to be in heaven, I would think that King David, if he was after God's own heart, would be there.
That's true.
But I want you to notice what it says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 29. It says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." Well, he goes on and he speaks about it. He's speaking about body and being according to the flesh and all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But notice what he says in verse 34. What do you have there?
It says, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool."
Okay, so that's a quote from Psalm 110.
Yes.
One of the most quoted texts in all the Bible, by the
way.
Right,
right.
But it's interesting to me that we're told here that David is not in heaven, but he's waiting for this kingdom to come. He's waiting for the return of Christ.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, friends, you might think, well, this is unbelievable. You know, all of these years I've believed something different. Or you might even think, well, what about David? He's been in the tomb for thousands of years now.
Yes.
But just like when I went under that anesthesia, I was only out for about an hour, maybe at the most. But it seemed like a split second, literally. I closed my eyes, I opened them, and there I was in another room, recovering, just that quick. And I think for any of you who have had that experience, if you've experienced being under anesthesia for any period of time, basically that would be the experience of death. No feeling, no thought. No concept of time, no worries, no pain, no suffering.
That's what Isaiah 57 told us right at the beginning of this program.
That's it.
So I think that's pretty significant. The next thought that my stepfather is going to have is one of resurrection and seeing the return of Jesus Christ.
It's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
It is. And he doesn't have to worry about all the sinful things that are happening here. He doesn't have to worry about the political situation we find ourselves in. He doesn't have to worry about money anymore.
Right.
He doesn't have to worry about, he's got no care at all. He doesn't have to worry about my mother or taking care of her.
So he's resting in the tomb.
Yes.
Isn't that right? You know, it's interesting that we would say that. I want to share just a couple of more thoughts. We don't have a whole lot of time. Psalm 115, verse 17.
Okay.
Rick, if you would look that up. I think that's a very important text.
115, verse 17.
Yes.
It says, "The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence."
So I guess if I were dead and I went to heaven, wouldn't I be praising the Lord?
Yeah, I think you would be.
Yeah.
But David here says that the dead praise not the Lord.
The other thing that I want to drive this home, John chapter 11, we're not going to cover this whole thing, but in the 11th chapter of John, this is where Lazarus was resurrected.
We've
talked about that before.
We have talked about that before.
And I think John chapter 11, and keep in mind, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus said that your brother sleeps, and then he explained, no, he has died, right? Remember that? And early on, about halfway through that, I think that's in verse 11.
Yeah, but I think you want to start in verse 21.
Yes. You want to read that?
Yeah. Now, this is Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha.
Yes.
They were all three siblings. Okay, so Lazarus has died. And here's Martha when Jesus arrives. She says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to thee." In verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, "Your brother shall rise again." Verse 24, Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day."
So what was her understanding?
Well, I guess it's what the Bible teaches, is that the resurrection of the righteous is going to happen at the last day of this world.
Yes.
Okay? The last day of this sinful world, when Christ returns, all the righteous are going to be resurrected, and the righteous that are still living are going to go up to meet them in the air and
there
be with Christ.
Now, the other thing, we can't sign off quite yet. If we look at the rest of verse 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? So what does that mean, that he who lives shall never die? Because didn't they die, even though they believed in Jesus?
Yeah, I don't think Lazarus is walking around the earth. I think he lived out the rest of his life after his resurrection, but then died again. And Mary and Martha obviously died again. And the Bible says that they're not in heaven or hell or any other such place.
So this is speaking of dying the second death, from which there is no resurrection.
Where do we find that in Scripture? Wait a minute. The second death?
Yes, we can.
That might sound a little out there to some of our listeners.
In Revelation.
Right? Okay.
We see this in Revelation chapter 20.
Okay.
If we look, and we don't have a lot of time here, we might have to pick this up again next week.
Okay.
Because there's a few more texts I'd like to share. Maybe we can finish it out.
But is that phrase second death in the Bible?
It is, right here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power." Wow.
So once you're resurrected and you're judged as righteous, then there's no way you're ever going to die again.
That's what the Bible's saying.
That must be what Jesus is talking about. If we allow him to be our Savior, we will never die that second death.
Yeah, I think we need to pick up on the second death next week.
I do too. But Mark, I really appreciate going through this again. Yeah, you know, I understand completely the hope that we have and the hope that my father-in-law, I mean my stepfather, has in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I know that he is sleeping, waiting in the tomb, aware of nothing. And I know and understand that someday he will be resurrected to see Jesus return.
Absolutely. So friends, we'll continue this next week. But in the meantime, let's close with a word of prayer, shall we?
Okay.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the hope that you've given us, the hope of eternal life. We thank you that we can understand what happens at the point of death, that you are a loving God, that we have that hope of a resurrection. It's certainly a privilege to know you. Father, we ask that you will give us wisdom and understanding, give us discernment. Help us not to dismiss these things if they're new to us, but to keep studying the Bible so that we can come to know you and your Son. We thank you for all good things, and we thank you for this time that we've had together. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, Rick, I've really enjoyed it. We'll talk more next week.
I have too.
And, friends, we want to thank you for tuning in. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.